My name's Jay, and I'm an alcoholic. And God's doing for me today what I couldn't do for myself, because it's almost noon. I'm in Pattaya. I'm still not drinking all weekend long. No drinking in Pattaya. Isn't that weird? I mean, most people don't not drink when they're here, correct? Especially Americans. Especially like middle-aged Americans. Males. I mean, they don't not drink in Pattaya, right? I mean, I was speaking at a meeting a few weeks ago, and it was a large African-American and Latino group. And I got up and I said, it's another middle-aged white guy. I hope he, ends on time and he doesn't yell too much. And one of the kids yelled it back at me. He said, "As if you're middle-aged, old man." So anyway, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been living in my car, and I'm kind of like a cat. You know how when a cat gets sick, it just kind of moves away. It doesn't want anybody to see it, to be around it. I don't want to be around anybody who loves me, anybody who knows me, because I know that it's bad, it's been getting worse, and it's not going to get better. And I can't control it. And I don't have any idea what's wrong with me. I think what I'm a moral weakling. I'm a bad guy getting what I deserve. Because I've violated the trust of anybody that's ever put any to me. And I cannot, for the life of me, figure out why it is that, for all my family's weirdness, they gave me they got me to school, they fed me, they introduced me to God as they understood God. Slow down, Jay. They introduced me to God as they understood God. They taught me table manners. And I can't get it. I can't take care of myself anymore. I can't keep a job. My last job, I was washing dishes at the TikTok restaurant. It was on an off-ramp off 5, and they fired me an hour and a half into the job. And they gave me $5.35. And that was enough that I could go and get 2 packs of cigarettes and a quart of gin. And I was really, really happy about that. I'm the kind of alcoholic that I get a little money together. The last motel I stayed in, I hawked my clothes and all the possessions that I had. I said, I'll get them back for you. Give me a room for a couple nights. They said, okay. And I got a job, and I steal a little money out of the till. I got a $20 bill. I go into the liquor store at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get a case of beer. I get a quart of gin. I get a carton of cigarettes. I haven't eaten in a couple days, so I get a loaf of bread, and I get an 8-pack of bologna. You don't want to get a 20-pack of bologna, and I get a cube of butter, and I set it on the counter, and it comes to $20.15, and I give the guy the butter, and he gives me the look, and he gives me the butter back. I wasn't going to give him a beer. I wasn't going to give him cigarettes. And he gives me the butter, and I go, "Oh, right on, bro." Absolutely clueless to the fact that I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life has become unmanageable, and I don't know what's going on. So I end up in AA. I end up at this AA meeting. These people are, and I identify at that first meeting, and I came in on a Friday or a Wednesday, and I told you I almost drank on Friday. And Friday night, I say this prayer. I say my prayer, and my prayer was, I don't know from Jesus or Buddha. I don't know the Talmud, the Torah, the Upanishads. Just please get me the top. I'll do whatever these dried up old geeks say to do. Just please help me not to drink. Perfect prayer. Perfect prayer. Said from the bottom of my heart. So I'm still not sleeping. Sweating and smoking. There aren't any morning meetings. Meetings don't start till noon. So I show up, 10 o'clock, the Alano Club opened. And I go vibrating in, and I'm sitting on the naga hide couch, smoking. You know, waiting for the meeting. And this woman comes through, Marie Sharp, a bun in her hair, black dress, support hose, correct shoes. She comes in, she says, "Oh, young man, you're new, aren't you? How can you tell?" She said, "I can tell you the secret of Alcoholics Anonymous in four words." Ah, what are they? Find God or die. Not anything but that. 31 years later, I can tell you the secret of Alcoholics Anonymous in four words. Find God and live. Find God and live. And again, when I say God, what I'm talking about is something that I've experienced in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you can use all kinds of words to describe it. You can use good. You can use love, truth, compassion, all these things. And you'll find your own words. You'll find your own description if what happens is that you go through these spiritual exercises, which are what the steps are. They're a set of exercises which will produce a result, just like all exercises do. But you need to actually do them as opposed to agree with them. Now, there's a lot of folks that I'd like to read you a little something. One of the things, if you haven't figured out, is I'm a history buff, and I'm very interested in where Alcoholics Anonymous comes from and the like. And I'd like to share with our Thai friends that one of the centers for Alcoholics Anonymous was in the central part of the United States, in Ohio, and it's a very conservative area. People are not likely to try new things, and the folks that were involved in AA were just a bunch of white guys that had the consciousness of that era. And in those days, most of the people that came into Alcoholics Anonymous had been trained in Christian churches. There are people who would tell us that they think Alcoholics Anonymous would be more successful if it stuck to its Christian roots. They say that if you went back to Dr. Bob and those guys and you took a look at what they did, that they would be telling you that you had to go along with this Christian thing that they were involved in. But if you take a look at what actually was going on in Akron in the late 30s and the early 40s, Dr. Bob, one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, and his friends got together because they thought the big book was written at too high an educational level for the working guys that were in Akron. And they put together five pamphlets. They called them can openers, because that's what you used to open a beer, was can opener. And it was a way to open somebody's mind. And they had these five pamphlets, and you can still get them at the Akron Central office. And one of them is called Spiritual Milestones in Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you read this pamphlet and you start out in the front, what you get is a lot of Christian stuff. Again, the experience of the men and women of the time. But when you get towards the end, where they're bringing it all together, where they're closing, this is what Bob and his friends wrote about. The spiritual life is by no means a Christian monopoly. There is not an ethical religion in the world today that does not teach, to a great extent, the principles of love, charity, and goodwill. Followers of Muhammad are taught to help the poor, give shelter to the homeless and the traveler, and conduct themselves with dignity. And then they write, 1941, Middle America, consider the 8-part program laid down in Buddhism. Right view, right aim, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindedness, and right contemplation. The Buddhist philosophy, as exemplified by these 8 points, could be literally adopted by AA as a substitute for or an addition to the 12 steps. Generosity, universal love, and welfare of others rather than considerations of are basic to Buddhism. Smile at them and say, that's wonderful for you. But know that it has no historical context within this movement that we call Alcoholics Anonymous. The people who founded this were very, very clear that they wanted the doors open for everyone.
Well, what about atheists?
This is AA. We let anybody in. What about agnostics? We let anybody in, but you got to do the stuff. We don't care. See, the great thing about these spiritual exercises is that you don't have to do anything as far as defining stuff. You just have to do it. And no one in Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you what kind of expression of the higher power you have to find. But you must find one. You must find one. So just a little history stuff for you. So what happens to a weirdo like me who gets terrorized by this woman who says, find God or die? Well, I went and got a sponsor. And I started working the steps, and I described, you know, I'm starting to work with others, and I'm starting to make amends and all that stuff. And then I got involved. Now, I believe that the reason that God created women is so that men would learn to pray honestly. There are a couple of different schools of thought. This is not duality I'm teaching, but anyway, in Alcoholics Anonymous, one is that don't get in a relationship in your first year. Now, anybody who gives you that advice, ask them if they followed it, number one. And then there's another group that was championed by our friend Serenity Sam. And Sam said, get in a relationship before you leave the meeting today. Because that'll make you work the steps, dude. And my experience is along those lines. I was about 3.5 months sober, and I'm 10 in bar, and I meet this creature, and we're having a good time. And then after we've been dating for a few weeks, she decides she wants what I have. And so I bring her into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I take her around, and I start introducing her to people, you know, and showing her where to sit and introducing her to all the old-timers, you know. And I'm not involved with the newcomer because, of course, we were involved before she came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just helping her over the fence. And anyway, so we're going along, and she moves her husband out and gives me the keys to the vet, and I think that God's will is just fabulous. And anyway, after about 6 months, she leaves me for another woman and brings her to the meetings and introduces her to the old-timers and shows her where to sit, and on and on and on. And so I learn about having to cruise the parking lot before you know whether you can go into the meeting or not. I know this never happens here. And so I'm brokenhearted, and I'm sitting outside the Alano Club, smoking, twitching, and there's Irish Dan. Now, how can you get sober without Irish Dan? You know, we've all got somebody like that. So I give him this tale of woe, and he looks at me and he says, "What's your prayer life like, kid? Didn't you hear what I said?" He says, "No, what's your prayer life like?" And I say, "Well, okay, I'm doing the AA thing. I'm getting down on my knees in the morning, and I'm being taught that prayer needs to be personal and it needs to be honest. So I'm saying an honest personal prayer." And that was, "Help!" And then when I get home at night, I'm supposed to express my gratitude for a day of sobriety. And I'm going, "Thanks." 31 years later, the expression is still the same. There may be a lot of other syllables hung on it and the like, but it's this same. And then I'm saying a prayer at the meeting. And he says, "Okay, kid, we are going to ramp your prayer life up immensely." He said, "You got a job, kid, right?" "Yeah, right." He said, "I want you, and you go to work the same way because you're an alcoholic male, no matter what." "Yeah." And he said, "And you come home the same route." "Yeah." How did he know? And he said, "What I want you to do is I want you to pick a spot on your way to work, and this will be a God spot. And when you hit the God spot, what you do is you say, 'Hi.'" He said, "You need to get out of this relationship that you've had, drinking, or we need to get you into this thing we call conscious contact. And all conscious contact is it's opening my mind up and seeing what's here. It's high. It's establishing a relationship. And in the beginning, just high is fine. But if you say hi to somebody, it doesn't end there. Usually there's something else that goes on." And once I'd start doing that, what would happen is I'd think about somebody at the meeting that maybe was having some trouble. And I'd consider their problems. And I'd kind of give it to this God. And in those days, I called it coach. Because it was a different... The higher power that was in the car with me was different than the higher power that I was used to. It was a new relationship. It was a new kind of consciousness. And at first, it was a friendship. In fact, that friendship is deepened to now what it is that I love the Persian poet Rumi. And Rumi speaks many times about the higher power. And when describing the higher power, he describes it as the beloved. And that's how things can change. So anyway, I got the God spot, and I'm driving by it. So now I'm praying twice more. I've got almost 100% more conscious contact going a day. Then he says, "Okay, kid, now you got a job, right?" "Yeah, I got a job." He says, "You have a little trouble at work, don't you?" "How did he know?" "I'm tending bar in those days, and sometimes things would get a little dicey. I'm not talking about drinking particularly. My sponsor said when I went to work at the bar, he said, 'It's just like working in a gun store, kid. You don't pick the product up and put it in your mouth and pull the trigger.'" Well, makes perfect sense to me. Anyway, so he said, at the bar, he said, "Find a place that you can go, that you and the higher power know that you're praying." So for me, it was the Galliano bottle. If I put my hand on the Galliano bottle, the big guy and I knew, both knew that I needed backup. And I was reaching out. I was making contact, consciously. Later on, he says to me, "You smoke, kid, right?" "Yeah." "Well, yeah, a lot." Excuse me. He says, "We're going to make you the most spiritual guy in the meeting."
"Wow, how do we do that?"
He said, "What I want you to do is I want you to write HP, not for Hewlett-Packard, higher power, on your cigarette pack. And every time that you go out to have a cigarette, invite the higher power out to have a smoke with you. Conscious contact." Now, one of the ways I love to terrorize new people is I say I have a relationship with Jesus. And I said, the Jesus that I know, man, his favorite thing to do is go burn one with a new guy. So invite Jesus to go have a cigarette with you after the meeting. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have to worry anymore. We've been raised from the dead. We don't have to get caught up in talking about concepts. What we need to get caught up in is this moment and realizing that now it's fine. Now it's safe. And this is what we have to offer new people, is that we're in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's safe here, and you don't have to drink anymore. And that there is a power. And that it's accessible. And how is it accessible? Just this real simple stuff. I mean, most folks, they want to, you know, and I'm just telling, this is just my story about building a relationship. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. First at home, then on drives to work, then, you know, and then at home, starting to change the relationship and having a normal place where the higher power and I get together to hang out. One of the most wonderful exercises that I did was, for a number of years, I would pour a cup of coffee, because I believe in the conscious part of conscious contact. I have a cup of coffee. I used to have double espresso before I sat down to meditate. Don't want to fall asleep. And I'd make a cup of coffee for the higher power and invite it to come and sit. If you're having trouble, if you're in a crisis, go get a beverage. Doesn't matter what it is. For yourself, get one for the higher power. Go sit in the backyard. Go sit any place that you're comfortable and just sit for a moment. But make that effort. It's a marvelous, marvelous thing. I mentioned yesterday about the fact that my first marriage dissolved, and it ended when I was 13 years sober. At the time, I was sober man, armed with steps, concepts, and traditions, able to transcend anything. They have a drinking problem, give them to me. I will teach them how to work the steps correctly, get them involved in the proper service. We'll go off into the sun. And it was I had a great, great experience in Alcoholics Anonymous during those years. But my wife, Jacqueline, and she gave me the dignity of being able to tell this part of our story. We were not able to find a life together that worked. And we were together for almost 12 years. And she was raised by a mother who, there was never a male in the house, ever, except sleepovers occasionally. And I mean, you know how weird males are. Can you imagine never being exposed to them at all and then suddenly living with one? And it was such a an experience that even after we had a child and she was sober and we both had sponsors and both were working with others and stuff, we just couldn't create the kind of love that that either of us deserve. And so the great thing is, because we were both sober and Alcoholics Anonymous, we were able to look each other in the eye and take responsibility for it. Somebody didn't have to go get involved with somebody else or go spend the money or do whatever to cause the crisis so that we could break apart and it could be somebody else's fault. We were able to look each other across the table. But part of the thing was is that we were unable to create a spiritual life together. And so when I went shopping for Sober Wife version 2.0, you know, there were certain things that I was looking for, that I wanted to identify. I didn't just want to walk into the meeting waiting to get attracted to somebody again, because I knew what that was like. And when I approached Adele, one of the things that I wanted to do was I wanted to build a spiritual life to support our intimacy. And we prayed and meditated together before we started having sex. And it totally changed the way that our entire relationship evolved. And so, you know, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, there are different things to try. And our getting involved together was a wonderful thing, because as a young male, I was just taught to go straight for the prize. I'm going to be very Clinton-esque here. You know, you know, I never had sex. You know, I only wanted sex with those people. There were all kinds of other things, all kinds of other expressions of love and affection, which I was not familiar with, because I had never been present for it. And sober, with a sober partner, I could do that. And what happened is that I have a life with my wife that is amazing in its expressions. And I believe that the main thing that it comes from is this spiritual life that we developed together. And how did that happen? Well, we got together. I was still kind of sober man. So I said, darling, you know, we want to pray and meditate together, so let's do this. And we got together in the morning, and I read a couple of things, and we said a couple of prayers. And we did that for about 4 days. And the fifth day, she looked at me, and she said, you know, this isn't really getting it for me. And what I heard her say was, I don't like the way you kiss. And so I said, well, okay, darling, we'll do whatever you want. You go ahead and start. And so she came up with a format that she liked, and so we did that the next morning, and when we were done, I waited a respectful amount of time, and then I started to tell her where she was in error. And this is why sponsors are so great. I mean, you know, I just, if you're going to be involved with a biped, I really suggest they have sponsors, because they take all the heat. You know, before, you know, so her sponsor is getting an earful when I finally, like, the 10th step kind of kicks in and I go, that was really kind of lame. I better call her up and apologize. And I did. And the next morning we got up and we started doing this thing together, and we've done it literally every morning for 17 years now. And what it is it's a way to really establish a relationship beyond thought. And so what I want to do many times, I'm fortunate enough that my wife is here with me when I do these things, and she's not here, but her sponsee Rose is. And it's one thing to talk about it, but what I want to do is I want to show you what it is that Adele and I have done for years. And it's a very simple practice, and it's a marvelous thing that maybe if you're working with others that you might be able to suggest to them or the like. But it's something that's worked well for me, and that all the people that I know that have applied it in their lives, it has changed the nature of their relationship. So Rose, who my wife sponsors, is going to come up and play my wife. This is Rose, everybody.
And
So what we do in the morning is we get up and I look at her and I go, I am so lucky. I got the girl, you know, I mean, it's a great thing. And but I always put my hand on her and we'll meditate for 3 minutes. Now I bring in greetings from Thank you so much. Is it on? Yeah, okay. I bring you greetings from the 11th Step Group in Manhattan Beach, California. The meeting's been going for 56 years. We got a little experience. And what we've learned over the years is that 3 minutes will change your life. And again, you know, I know that it's not true here in Asia, but in like all kinds of parts of the planet, people actually think that the meditation part of AA is extra credit, that it doesn't have to be done. Is there any part of the steps that we can skip? I mean, like I like to say, the whole not drinking thing, I wasn't good at that either, but I was able to get through it. And and so anyway, this is, so what we do is, we found that if you just sit for 3 minutes, and your mind can be running the whole time, but that something happens. And you can be 3 minutes late to anything. So what I'd like to invite you to do is just we're gonna sit together for 3 minutes. I'm going to show you exactly what Adele and I do, and then I'll show you how it is that we get out. So if you'd be kind enough, just take a deep breath. Blow it out. Think about how you'll want me killed later, slowly. And so we'll start. Thank you. And then when we finish, what we do is we take a reading and we share it together. And when we started with the St. Francis prayer.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace.
Where there is hatred,
let me bring love.
Where there is injury,
pardon.
Where there is doubt,
faith.
Where there is despair,
hope.
Where there is darkness,
light.
Where there is sadness,
joy.
O Divine Master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled
as to be consoled.
To be understood
as to understand.
To be loved
as to love.
For it is in giving
that we receive.
It is in pardoning
that we are pardoned.
And it is in dying that we die eternal life. Thank you. And in doing that, now I usually kiss her. Thank you. And in doing that, what happens is that we get the marching orders for the day. We remember how to treat each other. We remember that this is my best friend, the person who wants more for me than I dare want for myself. But it takes time. Spiritual intimacy, it's really funny. Physical intimacy is the easiest, and emotional intimacy is a little bit more difficult. Spiritual intimacy seems to be the most difficult, but it is the most rewarding. It is the most joyful. And thank you so much.
Okay. I just wanted to say that that was one of Adele's first directions to me when I started working with her. So my husband and I have been doing this too for the 3 years that we've been married, and he's not even in program. So it's a gift. So thanks.
And we really do inflict this stuff on all of our sponsees. Truly. Because we don't get any mild cases of alcoholism in our home. You know? And we only have a spiritual solution. That's all that we've got here. We can play that it's a lot of other things, but if you read the literature and follow the direction, you know, again, it doesn't matter what we call it, but spirit is. One of the people that I enjoy the most is a writer by the name of C.S. Lewis. He wrote a book called The Screwtape Letters, which is my personal favorite book on sponsorship. He was not an alcoholic. But the setup of the book is Screwtape is a major demon. And his nephew, Wormwood, has been given his first human soul to corrupt. And so the letters are from Screwtape to Wormwood talking about keeping the patient away from the enemy, which God is always referred to as the enemy. And it talks about different ways of keeping people away from a relationship with the higher power. Things like that the only place your patient and the enemy can find each other is in the present moment, is in the now. So what you always want to do if you want to keep your patient from God is get him either in the future or in the past. Get him to think about his mother. Stuff like that. It's a marvelous, marvelous book. The last thing that I want to mention to you about this building a relationship with the higher power is, again, that it's experiential. There's no wrong way to do it. Pray, and you know, people are afraid to launch out because, oh, I don't want to do it wrong. Well, pray and meditate the way you drank and used. Just try stuff in combination. See what happens. I guarantee you, you'll end up with some much more interesting creatures. And in this, there is no... the only caveat is, again, that if you meet people that say that Alcoholics Anonymous is a lower spiritual path, just agree with them. Because they're not alcoholic. They don't know. And it's not up to us to convince them. But we do everything all the time that's recommended. One of the things that Bill Wilson had a grand time with was talking about all the other co-founders of AA. He always talked about the fact that it wasn't just Bob and I, that there were people like Jung, people like Sam Shoemaker, and people like William James that he considered to be co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you read the appendix 2 in the back of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, the appendix on the spiritual experience, he uses James's definition of a couple different types of spiritual experience. There's the sudden one, which Bill had, a kind of overwhelming thing. And then there's the experiential, one that is lived into. In the book, Varieties of Religious Experience, James talks about the educational variety as being the same thing as an athlete that practices and practices and practices, and the game just seems to play through him. Or a musician that practices and practices and practices, and then you go to see him in concert and the music just seems to flow through them. And that it's something that if you follow these things, like not drinking, going to meetings, establish, you know, asking the higher power to go have a smoke with you. If you're not working with anybody, sincerely, going out and having a smoke or a cup of coffee and looking up at a tree that you like and saying, you know, big guy, I'd really like to help another drunk. Would you please send one my way? And I guarantee you that if you do that on a regular basis, that they'll show up. They will show up. When I start to sponsor people now, one of the things I do when they ask me, you know, will you sponsor me? Well, okay, are you willing to go to any lengths to not drink for victory over alcohol? And they all, you know, oh, yeah, okay. They don't understand what I'm asking, but that's fine. And then I say, are you willing to take another person through the process? And they say yes. And then one of the things that I've always found very helpful is that the sober friend is more important than the sponsor. Because somebody will tell the truth to their sober friend long before they will to the sponsor. And also that if you have two guys that you're working with at the same time, that they have a common enemy. Me. And I would like to suggest this to any of you. Just, again, try it. Just see what happens. But when you get to, and so what I do then is I say, okay, now we're going to pray. And they look at me like I've got three heads. And I say, and we're going to ask the higher power to send us another drunk so that you and this other man can watch each other go through the process and you just won't think this is about yourself. And we get down on our knees and we ask God to send us another alcoholic. And they show up. Sometimes it's frightening. You know, I had a guy show up at my house one time. He was 18 years sober, and he'd been on hiatus from Alcoholics Anonymous for a while. He was dry as he was a fire hazard. He was so dry. And, so I said, okay, you've got 18 years, but you ain't been working with it. Let's pray for somebody. We went to the meeting, and a guy sat down between us and turned around and asked me to sponsor him. And I looked at him and I said, what do you think? What do you think? See, the thing about prayer is not so much in manifesting anything, but it's just being able to pay attention to your life. Like I talked about yesterday, we all know people that are suffering. If you tap the chair when you go to the meeting, you know, I hope you heard that it was 2.5 years that we were, or a year and a half that we were doing that before these people changed, but I mean they changed. But we were paying attention. We were paying attention. And that's what prayer does, is it allows me to pay attention to my life in ways that I couldn't before. All this spiritual stuff is great, but it ain't worth a darn if there isn't something practical to it, if it isn't something that's transmittable, if it isn't something that's helpful. And so the 12th step is what this whole thing's about. We can be as spiritual as we like, but unless I'm engaged in the action. So I'd like to ask you one more time, I would like you to do two things. I want you to just close your eyes again and take a really deep breath. Maybe move your neck around a little bit. You've been sitting for quite a while. This thing's almost over. And I want you to please think about the place that you came into Alcoholics Anonymous. That first meeting. Where was it? What did it smell like? Who was there? How did they greet you? How did they treat you? And what about your sponsor? The sacrifices his family made. Or she made to spend time with you. And their friends. And how they brought you into Alcoholics Anonymous. See, for me, it was Butcher Joe, and it was China Joe, and it was Smiling Pete, and it was Joyce Rollison and Kathy Davis and Frank Defery screaming, "Work the steps or die." And they were there, and they were open, and they were available, and they had a solution. And they were willing to share it. This is the great gift that we have. We have the ability to do something that no one in the history of the disease of alcoholism was able to do. In the past 75 years, we have gone from 2 people to over 3 million. Just in Alcoholics Anonymous. But it is only there if you are. Alcoholics Anonymous is 12 steps. And the process is never experienced until one has taken another person through the process and then watched them take someone else through it. Don't cheat yourself. If you haven't done it, ask the power. Show up early. Be available. And remember, it is never our intellectual understanding of the program. It is kindness. It is love. It is charity. It is goodwill. And have a really good time with it. Thank you.